Thanks. Good evening. I walked in here Wednesday and looked at this room. I said, if this room was empty, I'd be scared to preach in it. And then he put people in it, so that makes it worse. It's good to be here, though. God is good, isn't he? Too many times we think God's good because of something we've done. And I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and he said, brought up a good point. He said, God is good because he is good. Amen. You haven't done anything to deserve the goodness of God. So that was free. He gave something free. I'll give something free. You can pay for the rest of this. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Brother Stott, are any of those women actually deaf back there? Or are they just practice? Okay. I had a little story about sign language, and I didn't want to tell it if it was going to hinder their... It's like, I don't know how to say it nice. It's like watching a Japanese movie. You say it, and then it happens. And then they don't want to say it. Okay. While you're turning there, in World War II, and this is going to befuddle them in the back. In World War II, there were a lot of people in this world fighting. Of course, it was a world war. And we had some Native Americans that would help. The Navajo Indians actually wrote a code that no one else could break. And over in France, we had some Native Americans that were helping fight alongside the troops. I don't know if it's true or not. It's a true story I just made up. And they were over there. And one guy, they were under some serious fire. And he dug down in a foxhole, some hick from Louisiana or somewhere. And he was in a foxhole. And this Native American was there. And it gets boring in foxholes when you're under the fire. So he started to strike up a conversation. He said, hey, man, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? And the dude just looked at him. You could tell that there was a language barrier, of course. So he looked at him and he said, well, I can communicate through signs to him. He said, well, are you a paratrooper? And he goes, well, maybe not. He goes, I know, you're probably infantry. You're infantry, right? And he goes, well, let me think. He goes, I know what you are. You're on the bomb squad. That's what you are, right? And he goes, the guy starts looking a little worried. Finally, he goes, well, what else could the guy be? He said, you know what? You're a lookout. That's what you are. That boy looked at him, jumped about in the foxhole, ran across fire, almost risked his life, jumped down another foxhole, and landed next to another Native American from his own tribe. He looks over. The guy goes, you know, in their national tongue, he goes, you look scared to death. What is wrong? He goes, over in this other foxhole, this guy said to me, when the sun goes down and all the people go away, I'm going to beat you till your eyes bug out. I said, I have to tell that story because of that. That would just be funny to watch them retell it. Revelations chapter 2, if you would. Revelations chapter 2, we appreciate your hospitality, letting us stay in your prophet's chambers, and a couple of your families that have taken us out for meals. We always love free food. You don't say anything more about it. Revelations chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look at something here the Lord laid on my heart. I was praying today. A friend of mine actually gave me a real life example, and I'll tell that story in a little while. And I was praying today in the room. I said, Lord, give me some confirmation that this is what you had me to preach to these people. I don't know anybody. The pastor didn't fill me in on any of your problems or anything. And I said, give me some confirmation. I looked over, my phone was blinking. I had a text message, and it was actually my friend who had inspired me to write this had sent me a text, just a general, hey, how are you doing text? And so that was comforting to know that this is supposed to be. So Revelation chapter 2, if you would, in verse 1, we'll read down here. It says in verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and has found them liars. This isn't our text, but I thought this was funny. Your church is very active. It's impossible to not see that. It's impossible to not see buses driving in and out and kids coming in and souls trying to be reached and even a deaf ministry just to reach a few people. Your church is very active, and that's encouraging. And then we were talking to your pastor Wednesday, and this actually verse had popped in my brain. He'd said here, Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. He had said in over 11 years there was people who had searched for a pastor and couldn't find someone. And he gave me not all the specifics, but we were having a good conversation. And that you guys were able to try people and could tell whether or not they were of the truth. Okay? So you guys, there's some of you, not all of you, some of you know, okay, and has found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. So far they're doing good. Now God has something against them. Okay? When God says he has something against you, or God says he has a problem with you, perk up. Pay attention. He said a bunch of good about you already. Okay? Here we go. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Okay? Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Tonight, let's look at, I want to ask you a question, a couple things, three, 4 points here on, have you left your first love? Okay, let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come here and try to bring something to these people. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to keep a clear mind. Help me to not be nervous, Lord. Help these people to receive something from this, Lord, knowing that it's not from me, but it's from your word. Hide me behind your cross. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. How many of us remember, go to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. There's a story of a couple, an older couple, not an elderly couple. Maybe they were elderly. But an older couple, and they were driving in the old style station wagons or pickup trucks. You remember how they used to have the bench seats in the front? And there's a story that I had read one time of a old man and a woman driving down the road, and the woman sitting on her side and the man sitting on his side, and they're driving, and she looks over and she goes, honey, remember when I used to sit all close? Right? Like Brother Bill just put his arm around like, ooh, this is the right time for that. Okay? Okay. Remember when I used to sit all close? Remember when I used to sit right in the middle and used to drive and put your arm around me? And he goes, yeah. Wasn't that so great? What happened to those days? And he goes, I never moved. Right? That's what happens with Jesus Christ. He's never moved. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Or you guys are there. Let me go there. Hebrews chapter 13. Sometimes we say, man, my relationship with God isn't where it should be. It wasn't where it has been. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ, this is a verse we know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He has not moved. If you have a distance between you and Jesus Christ, it's not his fault. Let's just start with that today. It's not Jesus' fault that you have distance in your relationship. It's yours. You've moved. Jesus Christ is there, and you've gotten away. Okay? So let's look at some things. First here, go to Psalms 119. Some of you that are married or have been married for some time. I haven't been married that long. Long enough. I know it came out funny. It wasn't meant to be funny. Psalms 119. You've been married. You know that when you're dating, right? I remember when me and my wife were dating, we were both raised in Christian homes. So there were rules and stipulations that should be put on everyone, right? You're 15. I'm not going to let you go to the movies together. You probably shouldn't go to the movies at all, but we're not going to let you go out by yourselves. We're not going to let you go out at night in a single cab pickup truck with just you. And when you're 15, or 16, because you can drive then, you're like, stupid mom and dad, they hate us and they want me to be. No, they put down rules. So we had to make do, right? Make do. We had to find ways to express our teenage love for one another, right? Went to high school. She's my high school sweetheart. I married her. Her dad gave me a really good offer, and it was a good offer. Okay, it's like the guy who, I'm not going to stand up here and tell jokes all day, but it was like the guy who was sitting on a bench, and he was crying, and another man walked up to him, and he said, why are you crying? He goes, today is my 30th wedding anniversary. And he goes, why are you crying then? Isn't that a joyful time? He goes, 30 years ago, I committed a crime in a little tiny town. And the judge told me I could marry his daughter or I could get 30 years in prison. And today I would have been a free man. right? That's not funny at all. Psalms 119, the first thing that you realize about young people, or even older people that start liking each other, okay? The first thing you notice is they are just infatuated with each other, with each other's words, with what the other one has to say. My sister, she thinks she's in love with somebody, and she's not, but she thinks she is. And they will talk about the most stupid things. They will talk about what they had for breakfast one morning when they were five and the toast was burnt. Can you believe it? Right? And they will talk about things that you're like, this is ridiculous. Would you just stop? But they eat it up. They love it. They can't get enough of each other's words. Right? Remember when you were a new Christian and you couldn't get enough of his words? The words that he had to say, you just couldn't get enough. Put down your Bible and come over here and eat with us. Yeah, but man, you don't know what's in this thing. Right? Remember when you had that time? It's not like that now, is it? It's easy to go away from that. Psalms 119, let's look here, verse 103. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. When we would talk, we were young, and we would get on the phone at night, and she'd be at her house 10 minutes away, and I'd be at mine 10 minutes away, and we would talk on the phone about absolutely nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. We'd sit on the phone. We'd hear a noise. Oh, was that you? Did you make a noise? Were you? Oh, yeah, yeah. I had to go across the room and turn the light off. Oh, really? Does that light stay on often? And you would just cut. Why? Because you, their words were sweet to you, right? How about, no, you hang up. No, you hang up. Some of you are like, oh, I never did that. I wasn't like that. You're a liar, okay? The only people, Marines are like that too, right? There's a Marine in there somewhere, right? Or there was, right? They were like that too. Right? They don't, oh, I'm a tough Marine. No, they were like that too. Okay, Psalms 119, verse 103. The toughest of men can be taken down by a woman. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You're better than being taken down by a man. Psalms 119. Let's look over here at verse 113. Psalms 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And we can go through, there's a many of them written down here, but all I'm trying to say is, when you were first saved, and you were first in love, and your first love with Jesus Christ, you couldn't get enough of his words. How many times now, Bible reading, just, if we do it, if we find time, it's simply just to do something religiously. We do it to get it out of the way. Hurry up, I got to read my proverb, and I got to read some other verse real quick and get it done, and then I'll move on. Did you get anything out of it? Did you cherish it? Did you make time for it? I remember my wife used to, before she was my wife, she used to write little love notes. And I say she because I would write them back, but she started it. And she would write little love notes to me. And they were stupid love notes, but we still have them. And it was stuff like, you look handsome today. She has not seen me today. She wrote this yesterday, right? And she would give it to me. And then I would stick it in my pocket. And all day long, you would pull it out. And you would hold it dear. It was something you held dear. Remember when you first got saved? Gospel tracts, right? A Bible, New Testament, scripture verses. Now it's like, man, hey, we gotta go to church. Where's my Bible? Did you leave it at church Sunday? I don't know. Do the kids have it in their room? Right? Let's take a second thing here. We'll get off of that. Second thing. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Second thing we did, and it kind of goes hand in hand, you were interested in their words first. You couldn't get enough of what they had to say. Right? When you first got saved, everything, anything, somebody that had the name Jesus Christ on them, you wanted to read it. A bumper sticker, Jesus Christ is the best choice. I got to read that. Oh man, that guy's the best. You were hung up on it. Remember when you first started liking that girl or started liking that boy, your friends were like, dude, come on, or whatever they said back in the day. They would say, dude, man, what is up with you? You're just ate up with this girl. You don't have time for us. Remember when Jesus Christ first came in your life? You don't have time for anyone else. All you got time is for him. Man, you're always at church. You're always reading his Bible. right? What we would give to be back there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, very short verse, says, pray without ceasing. He mentioned it earlier when he was up here. Thought it was awesome. Pray without ceasing. You know what we also did? Anytime we had an opportunity, not just to listen to them, and it goes hand in hand, we would want to speak to them. We would want to speak to them. I remember I used to work in construction when I was in high school. I still work in construction, but I had a little job where they gave me a company phone. And I got in trouble because I used all my company phone minutes up, not doing company phone talking. She got like 498 of those 500 minutes. I burned them all up. I got in trouble. Why? Because I constantly wanted to talk to her. Constantly wanted to tell her stuff. Things that happened in my day, I wanted her to know about it. I wanted when someone walked up to her and asked me something about me, they should know. She should be able to answer any question. And that's how it was. How is it with you? Are you still talking to Jesus Christ like you were before? Remember when you first got saved, you first got born again, you were on your knees every second. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with that. Lord, I'm going through this. Lord, I have this problem now. Lord, and your voice was always there. You were always on the call button. He was always listening to your prayers. Now it's the same thing. Not only do we put aside our Bible reading, but we put aside our prayer. This is what he's talking about in Ephesians. He says, you've left your first love. He said, therefore, do the first works. Your first works. You know, God cannot do great things with people till you do the little things. The little things require you getting on your knees. I was encouraged that you guys pray before church. Don't ever let that become something you do religiously. Let that be something you do out of your heart. Right? We need to have our prayer life, but have a personal one. Fathers, pray with your families. Mothers, pray with your children and pray on your own. Okay? I find myself, I have little boys that understand now. Sometimes my prayers are so simple. Help Donovan and Marshall to be a good boy. And sometimes I put my own prayers on side. No, pray. Seek God's face. Just talk to him. Like he said, he preached my point well enough. We'll move on. Speak to God. He can hear you. Amen. Okay? All right, here we go. Psalms 122. Here's the other thing. This is a very short message. Because he didn't tell me how much time I have, so I want to be leave a bad reputation here. Psalms 122. First, you constantly wanted to hear what they had to say. Let's go over this. First, you constantly wanted to hear what they had to say. Secondly, you constantly wanted to talk to them. So you were always engaged in conversation. That's why when people, teenagers or young adults or whatever, or even older people who fall in love, are constantly talking to each other, their conversations get very boring. Why? Because what'd you do today? Well, I talked to you, right? Let's let it get to that point where God knows everything. You say, well, God already knows everything, but did he hear it from you? Okay? There are things my wife knows. Here's a good example. My father-in-law has been married 3 times, and that's a bummer for all 3 women, but he's been married 3 times. And his third wife is just, make sure he doesn't know what website this is going to be on, but his third wife is very, very weird. She's scary. I don't want to spend the night at their house. She said, be nice. Okay. But she is very strange. She's a very strange person. Some people are strange just by nature. Okay. And this is understandable. She went very upsetting one day. She got very upset because she had heard a rumor from someone else that her husband was about to be shipped to Afghanistan with his National Guard unit. Now, what wife would want to hear that about her husband? From some guy that doesn't even go to your church, that doesn't even really know you, that mentions it to you. Oh, I heard Lance is going to Afghanistan. Oh, boy, she went crazy. What? She stormed in there, got all over his case, everything. And he said, well, it's true. I might be going. Fortunately, the Lord worked it out. He wasn't able to go. Didn't have to go. And I said to him, I said, you know what? Those are things, and I'm giving my father-in-law counsel here. I said, these are things you need to tell your wife. Okay? These are things, does God hear big issues like that from you? Does he even hear the little things from you? Amen. Or does he have to hear it from your pastor who's praying for you? Does he have to hear it from your deacon who's praying for you? Oh, yeah, I know that about brother so-and-so, that he's going through that trial, not because I'm all-knowing, but because I heard it from his pastor who's been praying for him, but I ain't heard nothing from him yet. Let's get back to talking to God on a regular basis. Yeah. Okay? Your wife would get upset if you just ignored her. Imagine coming in the door. Now, wives do it. because, oh, what's wrong? Oh, nothing, right? Okay. But men, if your wife was to come in and say, hey, how's it going today, honey? Did you have a good day? And then you were to go about your day and you just ignored her. And then later that night, you laid in bed and you wanted to have some conversation while the kids are asleep, and you're laying there and she goes, hey, honey, how was your day? She'd probably get pretty irritated after a while, right? After she done cooked your dinner, she done cleaned your clothes, she done all those wonderful things that wives do, and you don't even have the time to talk to her. How much Jesus Christ? He's given you the food to eat. He's given you everything. Like I said, God is good, and we don't have time to talk to him? That's something we should work on. All right, here we go. Psalms chapter 122. Third thing. Verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Third thing I noticed about first love, thy first love, is you always want to be close to that person. Always want to be close. We would think it's strange, maybe not, I don't know, if every Sunday Brother Bill came in and he sat way over there, and his wife sat way over there. We'd probably make a joke the first time. Hey, you know. Second week, we'd go, what's the problem here? Third week, he might ask him, hey, Brother Bill, are you okay? Does she have a disease we all should know about? Do you have a disease? You know, what's the problem here? You know, no, I just, you know, we're married and all, and we live together, but I just don't like being near her. My goodness. Last thing I want to do is be around that woman. Last thing I want to do is be around that man, right? How much Jesus Christ? When we get around, do people know that you're a person that wants to be around the things of God? Young people, when they fall in love, right? That's what they call it. When they fall in like or whatever it is, they are constantly wanting to be around each other, right? Back home, we work with the teenagers at our church, and the minute one of them starts liking each other, they instantly lose an attraction for the rest of the people in the entire universe. Those two people are the only people that matter to each other. We could have a conversation here, but no, we must needs have it over there. So we have to be by each other. I always got to be close. First thing you do, you walk in a room, you look for them. Right? You look for them. Where are they at? Oh, is she here yet? I don't know. Hey, man, come on. Let's throw the football around. Let's goof off, you know, teens. Hey, let's play this game. Ah, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Hey, she's here. Oh, come on. Right? You always want to be near them. Okay, Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me. Are you glad when it's time to go to church? Are you happy or do you go, if I don't go to church, I'm going to hear it. And if I don't go to church, they're going to think that something's wrong and then the pastor's going to call me or he's going to visit me. And then is that what happens? Or are you glad when they said, it's time to go to church? I'm excited to go to church. It's time to go visit with the saints. It's time to go help out at the church, not just for services, but I'm glad to be here. I'm excited about it. Is that how it was with you? Or have you gotten to where you just go to church religiously? Catholics go to church. Other religions go to church all the time because they have a fear of not going. Do you go to because you have a first love for Jesus Christ? Are you still in love with him? Are you doing the first works, all right? My friend, Eric, and I'll tell this story. He's my best friend. He's been my best friend forever. And his wife is not my best friend. She's his wife. But they used to come over and visit with us all the time. And they are not like me and my wife. Me and my wife are not mushy-gushy, all in each other's face and hanging all over each other. And it's just, no, we don't do that. But they do. They sit down, and his arm is instantly around her. She's instantly all up snuggled, and they're constantly walking. They have to hold hands. They're constantly, you get the point, you know people like that. It's almost annoying. And if you're like that, I'm sorry. I mean, you're annoying. But no, people are like that, right? And he's like that. So they were at our house. They ate dinner. They sit down, and it's been their custom for her to go sit on the little love seat and do something, and then, or him to go sit on the love seat, and then she'll always come sit by him. Well, that day he came and sit in a chair. We have two chairs. He sat in a chair next to me, and we were talking about something probably really spiritual, like the Bible. And I was trying to think of something not spiritual because we never usually do that. But we were sitting there, and all of a sudden she comes and sits on a love seat. Now it's gotten awkward in the room. Because she's like doing this whole look at him. And I'm doing the old look at him. And she's doing the old look at him. And everybody's looking at him. And he's got his feet propped up on the table. He is comfortable. Finally, she can't handle it anymore. She goes, Eric, or babe, whatever they call each other, are you going to sit by me? And he goes, but I'm comfortable right here. Boy, he didn't get comfortable in that chair ever again. All right? But how many times are we like that with Jesus Christ? God wants you to be close. He wants you to be near him, right? And we just go, but I'm comfortable here. Hey, it's time to go soul winning, but I'm comfortable here. Really? Saturday morning? No. I'm comfortable in this bed. Thursday night, I'm comfortable in this chair. Church time, I'm comfortable watching football. It's football season. I want to watch it. No, we need to be uncomfortable. Before, we would go out of our way. We would put everything on hold to go do something remotely associated with Jesus Christ. Now, if I have time, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Show up at church. I remember one time I came to church. Well, I go to church a lot, but one time I came to church and I just wasn't feeling it that day. We all have that, you know, you don't feel it that day. You're dragging in. The songs are being sung. You're just not feeling the songs. It's time to just kind of, all right, doing my duty here. Preacher started preaching. The stuff, spirit started moving around, started touching some folks. I didn't really feel it, but I was there and I could see it. And I was there. We service finished out, and I said, well, that was good preaching. I'm glad somebody got something out of it. I'm glad. And as I was walking out, somebody came up to me and they said, I'm glad you came to church tonight. And I said, well, me too. And they said, because I was praying to God that if somebody would come up and would come in this church and sit in front of me and would respond. I had responded to the sermon. I came down to the altar and prayed a little bit. And he said, if somebody would respond in front of me, that would encourage me to do so as well. And I'm glad you came and responded so that I could respond. Sometimes coming to church doesn't just help you. Sometimes it helps everybody else. If this brother's having a problem and he's barely struggling to make it, but your problem got you down and you didn't even show up, imagine the encouragement he's not getting from you. Amen. He walks in and you're not even here. Man, I can't wait to see brother so-and-so. He's such an encouragement. He's not here. Where's my brethren? Where's the people that are supposed to lift me up? Okay? Church is to be a place where you go out into the world and you spread the gospel. You're the salt of the earth. You spread the gospel. You go to a job I can't go to. You go to places that we all can't go together. And you go and spread the gospel there, and you spread the gospel there, and you spread an invite here, and live a good testimony here. Then you come back, and we lift each other up. And we say, hey, listen, let me help you. Let me encourage you. Oh, you had a good witness? Yeah, but that witness really, man, he befuddled me. I didn't know how to answer. Well, let me help you out here. And we're here to lift each other up. Have you just got tired of church and tired of being around the things of God? Right? Would we rather be watching football or doing something else? I'm not going to preach against anything because I don't want you to throw me out right now. I've got another really good point. Last one here. Psalms 139. What have you put in your life that's more important than Jesus Christ? I know people that when college football season rolls around, and I'm not against college football, I like college football. I think it's enjoyable to watch the rivalries, to watch the people get upset about it, to watch LSU lose. I think it's enjoyable. Right? But, or anybody from Florida, that's fun to watch. But when we let those things come, I know people that have let that, you know it's college football time. Because they're not in church. And on Saturday night, they're not at men's prayer. And on Thursday, well, they don't play on Thursdays, but on Friday nights when they do an early game, they're not there. They're not helping. Why? Because college football's on, dude. That's what's happening right now. And when that's over, January, when the BCS championship's over and it's done, I'll be back in church. You can count on me. I'm reliable. Have we done that? We put something like that before God? Is that a sin? Is it wrong to like college football? Absolutely not. Is it a sin to like good recreational fun? No. But it is when you put it before Jesus Christ and his church. Okay? So here, last thing. This is a good one. This originally was only a three-point message, and then this was given to me. Psalms 139, so now it's four. 139 verse 17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." Think about that for a minute. God's thoughts towards you are precious. Do you realize what you are? Do you realize what we are? We are nothing. With a jacket and a tie on, with a nice pretty dress, you're still nobody. You're still garbage in the sight of God that he went out of his way to get for you. He went out of his way for you and is now, he helped you, right? How many times have we done a favor for somebody, we've helped them, and then we go, yeah, that person, they needed me. Our thoughts towards them aren't precious. Look at what he says about God's thoughts. Verse 17 is, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." God's thoughts, how he thinks of you, are precious. Also here, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God." Your thoughts about God. Here, "How great is the sum of them." Verse 18, "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Verse 19, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men." Verse 20, "For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain." Verse 21, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rose up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them with mine enemies." Think back to when you first started liking somebody or first started falling in that first love. Anybody that was opposed to them, you had a problem with. I remember when my wife wanted to graduate from high school, her dad was a non-traditional homeschooler. I love homeschooling. I'm in favor of it. But he had took her to the mission field. He had took her to different places, and they traveled all over the country, and they had not done it traditionally. But she is smarter than a lot of folks, okay? And she has an education. Well, there are people in our church that were simply just upset that they didn't get that awesome of an education. They wouldn't tell you that. But they came, and they brought some crazy accusations. Crazy. I don't know how she even handled it. They were mean. They were just ridiculous. The spiteful, mean things that were said. Well, we were dating. I didn't have no beef with those people. I had no problem with those people before that. But you started talking about her. It's over now. Now me and you have a problem. Why? Because you offended her. Now we have an offense. Right? How many times did when Jesus Christ, when we first got saved, someone would speak out against Jesus Christ? We'd hear blasphemy in a movie, or we'd hear someone curse his name, or we'd hear someone talk bad about God in the church, and we would go, "Yo, hey, take it easy. That's my God." We'd be talking like that. And you would be offended with that, right? You would be upset with people that would offend your God. If you're saved, you're the bride of Christ. But check this out. If you're saved, and the person next to you saved, they're also the bride of Christ. Here, this is free. How many times do we come into church and amongst our brethren, we speak so evil amongst each other? We don't encourage each other. "Oh, this brother, he's so dumb. This sister, she's so, doesn't she know that blah, blah, blah?" That's God's bride you're talking about. Let me tell you, if you talked about my bride as bad as we talk about the Church of Jesus Christ, we would probably be rolling up sleeves in the parking lot. No, not that bad, but we would get upset. How sometimes we hear church people talk about God's bride and how bad the people in the church are and how bad church folks are. And look at how dumb this person is. And didn't the pastor know that they're not supposed to do this? And didn't this person know that? And look it, that's God's bride. He will handle it. When my wife's out of line, and which is not often, she's perfect. Right. No, but we have stories. But when, and many of you do too. But when you get out of line, I don't expect you to go. I don't expect Brother Bill to go run over to my wife and go, "You're out of line, lady. What's wrong with you?" And I turn around and I get done preaching. I walk down. I see Brother Bill over there just chewing out my wife. What am I going to do? Now I got a problem with him. Now imagine what happens when Jesus Christ looks down and sees his bride and all he sees is you beating up on it. He sees you being mean to it. Yeah, you're part of it. but you're also being mean to it. You're also being spiteful to it. You're also offending it. When you were first saved, anything that offended the bride of Christ or offended your Savior made you upset. Why do we just tolerate it now? Why is it okay? Right? Oh, it's only rated PG-13. Why? Well, for language. Oh, they just cursed God's name a few times? It's okay. No big deal. Right? Here, this is free too. Who rates these movies that we watch? I'm not on a movie kick. Right? But who rates these movies? Do they take them before the independent fundamental Bible-believing pastors of this land and say, Brother Stockton, we'd like you to be on our committee to rate these movies? Who do you think this movie's appropriate for? Have you ever got a call like that? No. Who do they ask lost sinners to rate movies. And we go, well, that PG-13 looks appropriate. I mean, it's PG-13. It was rated by a lost person in Hollywood who doesn't love your God, who doesn't have any desire to please your God. You should be offended with that. We've lost getting offended. We don't get offended anymore. We don't get upset, right? Philippians chapter 1, David says in Psalms that those that you hate, your enemies, I hate them too, with a perfect hatred. With a perfect hatred. Now, should we go out and hate sinners? Should we hate the world? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ said that for God so loved the world. We need to show him the love of Christ, but we shouldn't join it. We shouldn't join the world and tell them that that's acceptable. Amen. This world isn't acceptable living for us. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. H-O-L-Y. Holiness is not a denomination. It's Bible living. Holy. Acceptable. It's just acceptable. What? Holiness is acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. When you get done living for God, you do a great job, you put off all the things of the world, you stay in love with Jesus Christ, and you do everything you're supposed to do, you've still just done a reasonable service. You still ain't done nothing great. And yet we act like, hey, preacher, I showed up twice last year for visitation. What is your problem? Okay, you haven't done anything. You haven't done even reasonable service. Okay? And we say, well, I'm a really good active member in my church. That's good. I'm a really good active, and I do a lot of things. And the preacher, he sees that. Okay? But are you still in love with God? We're not talking about your outward service today. We're not talking about how great of a Sunday school teacher you are. We're not talking about how great of a bus worker you are. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you let it slip? Amen. Have you slipped? Have you gotten further away? When we first got married, we were all up in love. I mean, they say you couldn't live on love. We tried it for a little while. It's not, yeah, you can't. I didn't get this fat by eating love, you know. But you naturally drift apart. You know what people say? Oh, that's just natural. But how sweet is it to see, we went to camp this last summer, and there was an old man and an old woman there. I say old, they were older. And they were there, and they were just, you could tell that they were just in love. Every time he got in his truck to go somewhere, she was in it. To me, that would be annoying. I love my wife, but there's times I just want to go, you know? And she wants to go. Every time he got in the car, he wanted to go, she had to be there. Every time that they were there, she was there with him. You never had to figure out where one was and the other. Every time they got out of the car, he would open the door for her. I said, what in the world? That guy's still doing that. They would hold hands no matter where they went. They walked from that end of the pew to that one. They would hold hands all the way. Why? And it was sweet. And we go, wow, that's so sweet. That's so awesome. That's how you should grow old with Jesus Christ. That's how we need to grow in grace with Jesus Christ. To stay in love with him. Stay in love with God to the point where everywhere he is, you want to be there. Anytime someone's talking about him, you want to be there. Anytime you have an opportunity, you want to talk about him. Right? Remember when you first, and I'm closing here, remember when you first liked that person, right? People you didn't even know, who didn't even know her or him, you would talk about him. Man, I met this girl. She's so awesome. Let me tell you all about her. That guy doesn't care. But you wanted to tell him anyway. People don't care about Jesus Christ, but tell them anyway. They should know. They should hear it. They should know at least that you're in love with him. How disappointing is this? Yeah, I'm from Lock Haven Baptist Church. I hope they want to invite you out of church and let you know that we have church and we have a lot of activities and we hope that you come. And do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's really awesome. You should know him as your Savior. And did you know everybody's going to die and go to hell? And he died and sent a son that you could live forever. Yeah, close the door, honey. I don't want any of that. Is it demeanor? No, but your love for Jesus Christ. If someone wants to come and go, yeah, my wife, she's pretty cool. She comes in, she cooks dinner for me all the time, and she cleans up after me all the time, and yeah, we're in love. You go, that's okay. But if you were to say, yeah, my wife, she's really good. I love her. I really love my wife. No, let me tell you, I love her. She does so much for me. She is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Right? You would believe it. Do people believe that you're in love with God, or do you just say it? And lastly, are you offended at the people that offend God? When people have no respect for God, and are you offended with those that he's offended with? Do you want to stay away from those things that are contrary to him? We should think about that.